To go to the ladies' Bible study today and just share with them and just have a time together with them, just share and be encouraged and encouraged. And I didn't get to make that one because I made a wrong turn. Somehow I got lost in Williamsport, somewhere over there. But anyway, I made it back in time for the service, just 1 minute before the service. No, I got back earlier than that. All right, let's look at Revelation chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the four beasts, the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Heavenly Father, we ask you now as we look into this verse, these verses and the passage and the thoughts, that you'll just guide us as we go through this and that each one of us will benefit from our time in the Word tonight. And we pray that it'll affect us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Sometimes people have a wrong idea of what God is like. And sometimes they think of God as sort of like an old man in a nursing home, in a rocking chair, and he's just rocking back and forth and kind of keeping track of time. He's got a long white beard and very weak. Well, that's not God. Some people think of God as sort of a has-been God who he used to judge sin. In the Old Testament, sent down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah for their adultery and fornication and homosexuality. And he destroyed the whole earth because of a flood, because of all of the thoughts of man being only evil continually. And so we think of God as a has-been God sometimes who used to judge sin. But he doesn't really care about it so much today. And he doesn't really judge today like he used to. And he's kind of happy just with everybody because he just loves everybody. Well, this is true that God loves everybody. It's a wrong concept of God, though, to think that God just doesn't really care if people sin. Now, the passage here has four seraphim, and they're standing before the throne of God. And each of them has six wings. With two of the wings, they cover their eyes. Now, these are beings that are way above us. They are way holier than we are as human beings. But in the presence of God, in spite of the fact that these angels are so much better than we are, they cover their eyes with two of their wings because they cannot bear to look on God. They don't feel they're holy enough to look on God. Though they're so much better than we are, they are not feeling they are holy enough to look upon God. And with two wings, they cover their feet because of their symbolism of their lack of holiness. And with two wings, they fly. And as they stand before the God of heaven, they cry, Holy, holy, holy. God is so holy that the highest angels ever created cannot even look on him. Now, what does holy mean? Holy means morally perfect. Every part of God is morally perfect. Every part of his DNA, every thought, every emotion, every decision, every cell, every part of God is morally perfect without one sin. Now, this passage with the seraphims saying, "Holy, holy, holy," was also recorded earlier in Isaiah chapter 6. And it says that the seraphim there, again, six wings, two cover their eyes, two cover their feet, with two they do fly. But they go, "Holy, holy, holy," the same message. Now, it's interesting. It teaches that they cannot stop saying it. They just can't say it enough. And they've been saying it for at least 854 years when we come to the writing of Revelation chapter 4. So Isaiah chapter 6, 854 years before Revelation chapter 4. And they're still with those wings in front of the throne of God. Holy, holy, holy. And it says, not just for an hour. Holy, holy, not just for a day. Holy, but for 854 years so far. And they have not even stopped since then. And they never take a break from saying it. Now, sometimes people may say of someone that they know, "He is a holy man. He is a good man." But they would not say that of somebody without rest. For instance, I've said sometimes about people that I know, "Man, I wish I was that good a Christian. That guy walks with God." But I've never said, "That guy walks with God. That guy walks with God. That guy walks with God. That guy walks with God." I never said that for even 5 minutes. But holy, holy, holy. And these beings that are way superior to us cannot stop saying it, because that is how holy God is. And they say it, and they never stop. They never quit. I've sometimes been so full of joy when I think about what God has done for me. I'm not bragging, I'm thankful. And sometimes I found myself, if I go out in the woods sometimes and I pray, I think about something God did, and I go, "Glory to God." And sometimes I'll find myself saying it again, "Glory to God." And I'm not being charismatic, but I just get happy sometimes. I raise my hand in the air and I say, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God." And I might find myself repeating that maybe 10, 15 times. But I've never been so moved by God that I say, glory to God, all day. Let alone a week, a year, let alone 854 years. And I put this before us tonight to talk to us about the holiness of God and understanding it must be far more than we could ever imagine. And sometimes our concept of God is shallow, kind of like he's an old man, I said, upstairs, and he's just keeping track of time. And because we do not have the right concept of God, we do not have the right life before God. And the concept that we have of God will affect our dedication level to God. They began to praise him at the very first glance, and they've never stopped. They never will. Holy, 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 God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. Now, I don't have an outline tonight. I just have a thought progression through the verse. And we'll just see how the Lord takes it. And I believe that the Lord is going to speak to us because of the reality of who God is. Now they cry, "Holy Lord." So I want to look at these words, Lord, holy God, holy Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And get the right concept of God is what I'm saying, okay? That's all. Now, holy Lord, Lord means master. Now, notice that the angels are saying, holy master, holy Father, master, holy Holy Spirit, holy Son, master. Now, be thankful that God is a holy master. Now, if God was not holy master, he could be mean to us. He could be cruel to us. He could be selfish. He could abuse us if he was not a holy master, a morally perfect master. But thank God that he is. I preached a funeral for a Christian who was living in sin, and he had been drinking, and he got intoxicated, and he died in a drunk driving accident. And just because someone is a Christian doesn't mean they can't get into sin. And he got into sin, and he reaped what he sowed. Now, he was a friend of mine. We were very close, but he died from drunk driving. So I drove 700 miles, and I spoke at his funeral. And when I was done, the pastor got up, and he made a few comments. And he said in one of his closing comments, every one of us needs to bow the knee before a holy God. And then one of his 23-year-old friends, he died at 23 years old, stood up, one of the women, and she walked out. She did not like that statement. And as she walked out, she muttered something. So I asked somebody, what did she say? She said, I am not bowing my knee to anybody. And she walked out. Now, she didn't want God to be her master. She wanted to be her own master. Now, if you think about the fact is, you and I are never going to be our own masters. Now, we think we are, but we're not. The Bible says that you and I are always going to be servants. No man can serve two masters. He'll love the one and hate the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other, but you cannot serve God and mammon. But what it is saying, you will serve God or mammon. And you and I have the privilege of choosing who we're going to serve. Now, people are servants of the devil, or people are servants of God. And at any given point, we choose who we're going to serve. Now, holy, holy, holy master. In other words, he'll be a good master for your life, but the devil will not be a good master. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6:16. Now, just trying to bring some application, not trying to be judgmental or hurtful or mean, but there are people this week that know what the Bible says, and I'm not saying anybody here does, but there are lots of people that know what the Bible says about sin. They know what the Bible says about drinking. But this week, in spite of it, they said, no, God, yes, sin. So they yield to the sin, and so what they just did was they chose that master. There are some that said, no sin, yes, God. And they yielded to God. They chose that master. And in each decision that we make, we are choosing which master we're going to serve. Now, again, this is not an alliterated outline, but it's a thought. Bartholomew. We really are choosing master every day. Which one are you choosing? A good one or a bad one? And here's the master, the devil. It says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you, not to help you. And the devil doesn't care about you or me or any of us. He just hates God. And so because he hates God, he wants to hurt the people that God loves, you, me. And the way the devil's going to hurt God is to hurt you and me by getting us into sin and seeing us destroyed. So you choose, and you chose this week, and we continue to choose every day. Which master? The holy, holy, holy master, or the devil himself? But we choose every day. Who have you been choosing? I'm glad He's holy master. Now then the angels, when they do this, they go, holy, holy, holy God. Now, when they cry, holy God, God is meaning the supreme being. God is the holy, holy, holy supreme being. And as the supreme being, I'm not trying to be deep. It's just these are thoughts that I had. He is, as a supreme being, the creator. He is the ruler of the universe. Don't worry about it if it seems a little heavy. It's not that heavy. But he created everything. That's God. God created the heavens and the earth. And then he rules the world. So the ruler of the universe. And he is the source of moral authority. Now, what is sin? Bible says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God or the character of God. Now, why is it wrong to lie, for instance? Well, Mom said, no, it's wrong to lie because God cannot lie. And anytime we're different than God in our character, it's a sin. Why is it wrong to hate? Because God is love. And anytime we don't love like God loves, we sin. We fall short of the mark. Why is it wrong to be bitter and mad at everybody and unkind? Because God is not bitter. And God forgives. And God is kind to everyone. And so why is it that it is sin? Because he, God, is the moral authority and law, the supreme being. Now, as you look at this being holy, 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 holy God, all right, first, I'm glad that he is a holy creator. Now, stay with me. I know we're just going through thoughts. But if he was not a holy creator, God could have created sin. God could have created sadness, sorrow, but he didn't. God could have created sickness. God could have created death, hunger, pain, but he didn't. All of these things came from the fall of man. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. A woman came to me, and she said, how do you do it? I said, how do I do what? She says, how do you keep from being bitter at God? I said, why should I be bitter at God? She said, you know, you told your dad died when you were six. How do you keep from being bitter at God? So I said to her, you know, if you think about it, God did not want my dad to die. If it wasn't for sin in the Garden of Eden, then none of us would have ever died. None of us would have ever been sick. And it all goes back to the fact that sin came to the world. And so I said, I don't get mad at God, I get mad at sin. Because sin is what caused all this pain and sickness and separation and sorrow and death. Now, as a holy creator, everything God made was good. I'm flipping your Bibles real quickly at Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis 1, we see that God as creator is a holy creator. Holy, holy, holy God. Lord God Almighty. Now, you'll see that everything that God makes is good. I look at verse 4. It says, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was what? Good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit of the tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the Lord earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind, and get it. And God saw that it was good. It was good. Look at verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21. God created whales and every living creature that moveth, and waters brought forth abundantly after their kind and after every winged fowl, and after the kind, his kind, and God saw that it was good. And if you look at verse 25, it was good. And all the things that God made, is what I'm simply pointing out, were good. All right, now, if God makes something, it's good. Because he is not an evil, but a holy, holy, holy creator. In verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, not only did the things that God made turn out to be called good, but God said they are very, very good. Now, there is a beautiful heaven that Jesus has made for you if you have accepted him as your personal Savior. John 14:1-3. Now, I'm simply saying the right concept of God will affect the way we live. Evil, dictator, controlling, trying to rob me of my joy, trying to control me. God. No, holy, morally perfect, can't even have a wrong emotion, can't even have a wrong thought toward you. Right one, if you're wrong, he'll think it, but it won't change his moral perfection even in recognizing your sin. It will never end your love, his love. And his desire is morally perfect, so he's always going to have, even for his enemies. He tells me, love your enemies. So guess what he must do? Love his enemies, even if you is one. Now, here's the point. What is your concept of God? I'm glad that he is a holy ruler. He'll never be dishonest as a ruler. He'll never be a mean ruler, cruel ruler, selfish ruler. He's not an evil dictator, like I said. He's a good ruler, holy ruler, holy God, ruler of the universe. God will never be dishonest. He will never judge you unjustly, but justly because he's holy. He has to if we don't turn from our sins. A good, holy, morally right judge judges crimes, doesn't let them go, or he wouldn't be just. So he is holy ruler. I'm glad that God is the holy moral authority or the law writer. Now, if he was not holy, follow me, he could write. I know we're kind of getting weighty here tonight. I'm not wanting to get too weighty. If it's too weighty, just take a breath and go, okay, now, there, we're better. Now, but think about this. If he was not holy, he could not write holy laws. If he was not holy, he could write unjust laws that would help the rich, hurt the poor, help his favorites, help his family, his friends, but forget about the other people if he was not a good dictator. Now, Hitler was a dictator, but he made some evil laws because he was an evil dictator. And his evil laws were, Germans, you can go kill whoever Jews you want to kill, and you can take their possessions for you. Because these people are animals. They don't even deserve to live. An evil dictator made evil laws. But a holy, morally perfect dictating God who is in control, but not an evil dictator, not an evil leader, but a morally perfect, full of love, cannot possibly have a wrong, selfish motive. God has made laws. Two. What do you think about his laws? Evil. Well, what do you mean evil? Well, come on. You can't expect me to not live with somebody and not love them before I get married. Come on. This is the year 2021. And you cannot force this junk on me. What junk? What junk? You mean God's laws? Junk? Come on, you're not going to pressure me into that. You're going to not pressure me into that kind of box. It's going to ruin my happiness. Not going to happen. What do you mean? What will ruin your happiness? God's laws. What do you mean? It's from a morally perfect, impossible to not love you lawgiver. Now, when God gave his Ten Commandments, one of them was, thou shalt not commit adultery. And you know what? When he said that, I suspect the seraphim said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I expect that, holy, 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 morally perfect, perfect law. Good. Everything that God creates is good. And it's not a bad law for you. It's a good law for you. From a morally perfect good God to you and to me. God's Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Ever. Ever. Well, come on. You know, if you don't lie a little bit, everybody lies a little bit. But the morally perfect God said, thou shalt not lie. And the angels, holy, 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 morally perfect, perfectly holy law. And it's a good law because every law that a morally perfect God ever gave us was a good law, not a bad one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, you got to go to, yeah, but it's not a bad one. It's a good one. It's a good law from a good God, not an evil law, not one to destroy you, not to hurt you, but to help you and help us all. And all of the commands of God, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not lie, honor thy father and thy mother. It's a good law. It's good for you. It's good for all of us. And every law, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Holy, holy, holy law. Why? Because if you get a light view of God and you start taking his name in vain and emptiness and disrespect, you're going to start living like you disrespect God. And you're going to be hurt for it. But if you live to respect God, and if I live to respect God, I'll be helped by it. So we're just going through some thoughts here. The holiness of God, because the concept of God, we forget, he's holy. And it's not just the idea, he's holy, and he's not going to put up with your sin. No, he's holy. That's good. We can trust him. That's great. Because he's never going to do me wrong. Never would want to if he could. Because he's holy. And I get to choose which master I'm going to follow. That holy one or that devil. And I want to choose the holy one. Anything that holy God commands you to do is a good command. Anything holy God commands me to do is a good command. Now then he says this, and as we just kind of work through it, look back at Revelation chapter 4, and let's look at what the angels are saying. So you know that I'm basing this just basically going through the verses, what we're doing, and just studying it. And you can go home and you can look through the verse and just take it and dissect it a little bit, and you make your application. It's right there. Now, verse 8, and the four beasts, these seraphim, six wings, two covering their eyes, two covering their feet, two flying. First time they lay their eyes on God, they have to say it, and they can't say it enough, holy, holy, holy. And they haven't stopped for over 2,000 years now, and they will never stop. So the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord, holy, 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 God. And then this, Almighty, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So that Almighty God, that Almighty is holy. Now, if Almighty God could do anything and he could speak a word and it would happen, if he gave a thought and it would be done, and he can. If he were evil, we would be in trouble. Follow me? If he was evil, I'd have been dead a long time ago. But that almighty power is holy God. And he's holy almighty. If he were evil, we'd be in trouble. He might hurt us. He might hate us. He doesn't hate us. But if an almighty God hated us, we'd be in trouble. He might send us to hell without a cause. He never sends a man to hell without a cause. No woman's ever burned a second in hell without deserving it. And no woman ever burned in hell for a second without God hating it. He said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And in his almighty power, he made a way. If he was evil, he might send us to hell without a cause. He might destroy us just to do it. I used to, when I was a kid, squash bugs just to do it. Because I wasn't holy might. I was mischievous might. But God is holy, holy, almighty. He will not do the wrong thing. If he destroys man, it will be because he is holy in his power. It will be the right thing to send a lawbreaker and a sinner to hell. No one will escape his power. And if it's the right thing to do, because you reject Jesus, he won't like it. But in his almighty power, he'll do what is right. If you receive Jesus, no matter how many sins you've done, no matter how many sins anybody's done, he'll do what is right, and he'll enjoy it. He'll forgive you and take you to heaven, regardless of how many sins you've done. Almighty, mighty enough to remove all of those sins. Now then it says one other vein that we're going to go through. It talks about which was, which is, and which is to come. Now, in closing, as we move toward this, we've been talking about basically the idea. I told you, don't really have an outline. We have a thought. But I'm happy that God's not just up there not knowing what's going on, but he's totally, totally as powerful as he ever was, in control, and he's holy, holy, holy. That is good. And I get to choose him. I choose Satan. I choose him. Now, as you look at the verse again in verse 8, it says in the end of the verse, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But he adds these phrases, and this is what we're going to end with going through these, which was, he was holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and is still holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and will always be, is to come. Now, just hit this and think about your life a little bit and try to make some application. I try to do the same in mine. He was holy. And he was so holy that these four seraphim said it in history. 854 years back to Isaiah, Isaiah is looking back and Isaiah said, which was holy. Holy, holy, Master Supreme One, all-powerful. Isaiah looks at God and he says, I saw the Lord high lifted up and the angels saying, they said, holy, 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 back then. So time, when the angels were created, they began to say it. And the angels were created before man was ever created. So before creation, before we ever came into existence, he was holy then. But what we want to remember today in the way that we're living, and please don't think that I'm condemning anybody. I'm not bragging and looking at myself because if I had six wings, guess what? I'd have two of them covering my eyes. I'd have two of them covering my feet. And I'd probably have two of them covering my mouth saying, Mike, just shut up and don't say a word because you're in the presence of Holy God. And you do not deserve to speak. So I'm not thinking of myself as some great, but I'm thinking about that God who is that great. Now, he was every day in eternity past holy. Now, he is right now holy, holy, holy. All right, because God is holy right now, you know what that means? You've got to repent of your sins if you're going to be in heaven with him. Because God is holy right now, and he is judge right now, and he is lawgiver right now, and he is who he is. You got to live right. I got to live right in front of him. Now, if he's just a man with a beard, no teeth, sitting in a rocking chair, keeping track of time, kind of a has-been, and he kind of looks and says, come on, guys, I used to get mad at that stuff, but I've grown up a little bit. Now, it's not, you guys, you kids will be kids. I know you're young. I know about young people. I understand everybody sleeps around, and they don't mean to hurt anybody. Listen, he is still holy, and he is still saying a holy, good law, thou shalt not commit adultery, still. And he is still saying, thou shalt not lie, still. And he is still saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And he is still saying that I am judge. And he's still saying, I do judge. And the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we look at our culture that's changing, it's because our culture's view of God has changed. And we can't control what everybody else thinks, but we can look at what we know. And we know what we know about God. So we do what we do because we know what we know. Now we know he is love and we know he is merciful. But don't forget that three times without a stop, day and night, the angels are not saying love, love, love. They're saying holy, holy, holy. And they never stopped the moment they laid their eyes on him. And they never will. And the holiness of God is something very much forgotten in our day. But he still is who he is. And it doesn't change. And so the problem with that is, since that doesn't change, we better change. Because of this third point, which is to come. You know what that's talking about? In the future, when we stand before God, he's not going to be any different than he was in the time that in the book of Exodus he wrote, thou shalt not commit adultery. He is not going to be any different than when he wrote in the book of Psalms, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all that forget God. He's never going to be any different. And if we are on this earth for another 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, in the future, we will stand before him. And we've got to understand that. And when we do, he will be still holy. Holy, 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 holy God. And so with that in mind, when I understand that God was, but he still is, and when I am going to return to him and he will always be forever the same, holy, holy, holy God. Holy master, good master, could never give me anything to do that would be wrong. Never write a law that's not a good one and good for me. Never selfish as a dictator. Never wanted to hurt me, but ever wanting to help me. And never, ever in an ounce, in a cell, in an emotion, in a decision, selfish. Because that would be sin. Never once proud. He never cared one time more about himself than he did about another or you. But the devil tells us lies about God. He's a has-been. He doesn't really care. Or he doesn't even exist. I don't care what the devil says. I know what I know. And I want it to affect me. Now, I don't think of myself sometimes as being as good as I should be, but I do know this. I love it when I see God for who he is. I see God as provider. I've had many times when I've seen God how he is, and I've had needs, and I can remember taking my needs to God. I can remember, for instance, maybe I shared this with you, but I had a need. I needed $50,148. That was pretty big. I needed that. It wasn't a want. It was a need. Now, God doesn't promise to give us all of our needs, but he does promise my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so, I remember thinking how God supplied needs for a great man named George Mueller, and he had 50,000 dated answers to prayer, and he prayed over $7 million in for his orphanages, oh, maybe whenever he was on earth, I think 150 years ago. And that was a lot more money back then than it is now. So I decided if God did it for George Mueller, he could do it for me. So it wasn't a want, it was a need. The ministry I was doing. So I got on my knees and I began to pray, and I tried to pray for like George Mueller. And I focused on George Mueller, 50,000 dated answers to prayer. You got to have faith like George Mueller and God will answer your prayer. You got to have faith like George Mueller and then you'll get your 50,000 that you need. So I'm there praying and I'm praying. I'm trying to pray like George Mueller. And I said, God, you did it for George Mueller. And he had faith that you did it. And Father, you see my heart. I have the faith of George Mueller. And God, I'm praying like George Mueller. And I'm just going, George Mueller, George Mueller, George Mueller, George Mueller, George Mueller, George Mueller, George Mueller. And you know what God reminded me of? Or actually the devil probably reminded me of? You're not George Mueller. And I'm not. I'm Mike. So I quit praying. And I thought, what in the world is going to happen? I'm going to have financial disaster and I'll never recover from it. And what am I going to do? And I was getting all nervous. And then the Lord reminded me of something. It never was George Mueller. It was George Mueller's God. So I got back on my knees and I said to God, I know I was wrong in my approach. I'm looking at this like George Mueller did this and George Mueller had faith and I need faith like George Mueller and I need this like George Mueller. I said, God, it never was George Mueller. It was you. And I said, I need this and you know it. You know my heart. This is not a want. This is a need. And you promise that you supply needs and you can. Not saying you have to, but I'm saying you can. And you said I could ask. So I said, I need $50,148 by the time I come to the end of the month. And I said, you can do it today as much as you can do it tomorrow. And I prayed for 1 hour to God who can. Not like George Mueller prayed to God, but I just prayed to God who can. And so at the end of that hour, I got up, felt I prayed enough, and I was thinking, Lord, if it doesn't come in by the end of the day, I'm going to shut the ministry down. I'm going to tell everybody it must have been my idea and eat crow and say, God hasn't provided, so probably not God's will. So let's just shut it down before we have financial disaster. That night, a guy came to my home and he handed me an envelope and out fell a check of $50,000. I never told one person about it. I needed it one time. I don't need it tonight. Now, if you want to give me $50,000 after the service, I'll take it, but I don't need it. But back then, I needed it. And so I recognized at that time, and I don't always do this, but that time I did. I recognized who God was again. So what did it do? It affected me. I recognize that God is love. And there are many times that that affects me. I don't know if you're like me, but you might not believe it, but you ask my wife and she'll tell you I'm not lying. I am one of the most insecure people that I know. Now I get up here and I don't look like I am, but I feel like I'm a worse preacher. I feel like I'm not good in areas like that. And you know, I go through this and I'll say, yeah, why did I do that? What was I thinking? And all this stuff. And I look at these other men and I go, wow, they're like, wow. And I'm like, here, you know. But you know what I am encouraged with? What I know, not how I feel. What I know about God is that God is love. And God loves everyone. And he loves me. And so I'm completely loved. And what I learned about God affects my calmness and my confidence. I'm okay. I may not be awesome, but he loves me. I'm okay. I may not be smart, but I know about God, who is infinite wisdom. And because I know he is who he is, and he made this promise, and I know he is who he is, who always keeps his promises. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so that means me too. And it's what I know about God
It makes me okay. But this has affected me too. God is holy. Holy.
Holy. And that means without one sin, and not only will he never do me wrong, but he also will not tolerate unholiness in me. Now, I'm telling us this because we have a light view of God and we don't let it affect us. And if you get the right view of God, please don't take it as personal attack or anything, because I don't know anything about anybody here and what you're doing in your personal life. But if you believe that God is holy, you're not going to just let everything go that you're letting go. That a holy God looks down and he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, and you do. And you understand that he was holy when he wrote it. He meant it. He is holy when he says it. He means it. And he will be holy when you stand before God. Scary. And the only way to affect when you stand before God is to change what you do today. And you can. Not only is he holy, he's love, but there are four angels that have said it, and they never stop since the moment they started. Because they can't, because he is that holy. Now, do you have the right view of God? If you don't, get it. And look at that passage and let it affect your heart. Let's bow our heads this evening.